Welcome to the Second Thought for the Day podcast. In this episode, we dissect a Radio 4 thought for the day to expose all in it that is not factful and reasonable. If this has already stopped making sense, please listen to the Welcome podcast. No promises, but it might help. This Second Thought podcast is in response to the BBC's Thought for the Day from Thursday, the 10th of April, 2025. Which was by the Reverend Canon Angela Tilby. Tilby is a retired Church of England priest. Tilby's inspiration was the 20th anniversary of the marriage of Prince Charles to Camilla. Her message was apparently, don't marry someone you don't like. This was a genuinely awful broadcast. Please do listen to it. There's a link to Tilby's work, along with transcripts, the script of this podcast, as well as other relevant notes and links, at secondthoughtfortheday.com. I imagined at the outset of this project that I'd be evaluating the speakers largely on the basis of their liberal use of logical fallacies and their inability to discern fact from fiction. I did not expect these failings to be accompanied by unpleasantness directed at public figures. This broadcast from Tilby was a structureless cacophony of baseless claims, logical fallacies, and inexplicable barbs. The conclusion was the very pinnacle of banality. This broadcast is little more than a quality control klaxon in the BBC's Department of Religion and Ethics. As I said, awful. It is not entirely clear with what or with whom Angela Tilby has a problem. It may be archbishops, monarchy, the concept of divorce, Camilla, or perhaps the dwindling role of the church in matters of kings and their spousal freedom. Who can say she does not give sufficient detail away for us to be sure? She has a problem with something, though, and the evidence is leaking everywhere. The broadcast opens with a reflection on the 20-year anniversary of Charles's marriage to Camilla. Tilby reports that the 2005 civil ceremony was followed by a service led by Rowan Williams, the then Archbishop of Canterbury. Tilby reports watching the event on television and her sense at the time that Rowan Williams seemed hesitant and uneasy. Tilby then makes what is likely not just an unsupported claim, but an unsupportable claim, that millions of others were sharing her inability to avoid thoughts of the death of Princess Diana, 8 years earlier, in 1997.
With millions of others, I couldn't get out of my mind the tragedy of Princess Diana's death in 1997.
Speak for yourself, Tilby. At least, try not to speak for millions of others unless you can in any way demonstrate that those millions do indeed share your thoughts. This was an opening shot to the foot. Why risk what credibility you might have with the audience of the Today programme by making a sweeping assumption that also constitutes an unjustifiable claim within the first 15 seconds? What's most frustrating is that it would have been so easy to avoid. Why not begin the sentence, I suspect, like many others, I couldn't help but think about the tragedy of the death of Princess Diana. Nothing wrong with that. No unsupportable claim, all ends achieved, all risk avoided. Bloody stupid. Second, what is this guff about the Archbishop of Canterbury?
I remember watching on television, not quite knowing what to make of it. Even the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, seemed a bit hesitant, a bit uneasy, as he conducted the service.
Is Tilby's comment on Williams' unease in any way relevant or even accurate? I took to YouTube and subjected myself to 30 minutes of an Archbishop. I don't recommend it. To me, he appeared to be doing a better than average job. Perhaps it took him a while to hit his stride, but after watching several other clips of Williams doing his thing, this doesn't appear unusual, although I'm not sure stride is really his goal. Of more concern to me was the implied invitation for the listener to treat William's supposed unease as some kind of support for Tilby's earlier disclosed tragedy and death-filled mind. As you might remember, she didn't really know what to make of it. I suppose that if you'd spent much of your career as an Anglican priest, you might be forgiven for a higher than average preoccupation with death. But even so, this whole sequence seems inescapably irrelevant and unnecessary. Then, with barely a breath, she announces that by 2005...
more people were prepared to shrug and accept what was going on.
More than what? Jeepers, Tilby. That's not only a hanging comparative, but another unsupported claim. This time, that people had both shrugged and accepted what was going on. Now, presumably, what was going on was that Camilla was marrying a man that she'd apparently loved for most of her adult life, and he, her, for most of his. I was at this point beginning to wonder if her live performance was so bad that we were listening to the product of a heroic BBC editor desperate to have something vaguely suitable with which to pad the slot. Let's for a minute revisit that shrug. It was abundantly clear to reporters and observers around the world that the prevailing attitude of the British people towards Camilla had undergone a remarkable revolution. This was a woman who relatively recently was being described on the front pages of British newspapers as a Rottweiler. Describing the manner of the acceptance of Camilla as Charles's wife, as their future queen, by a significant proportion of the British people as a shrug, might risk being interpreted as a cheap shot. It feels as though there's something important to Angela that is being kept from us. Was there a love triangle? Was Tilby's opportunity dashed by Camilla's brutal man grab? I don't think that's it. Not a heart thing. Perhaps some petty, churchy, political thing. I'm sure someone knows exactly what it is. Then Tilby claimed that this acceptance of Camilla was...
and that was not only due to good PR.
For Odin's sake, Tillers, this is at best unsporting. Now, my judgment aside of what is and what is not sporting, it is another unsupported claim, and it is a veiled claim that the acceptance by the British people of Camilla as the wife of Charles was in significant part due to good PR. Does Tilby have some beef with Camilla? I guess it's possible that Tilby hadn't intended this to land as another sly dig. If so, I suggest she urgently needs to improve her approach to preparing a broadcast to a live audience of 6 million people. She also had here an excellent opportunity to mention some of the possible reasons for the acceptance revolution. There were widely published accounts of Camilla's humility, her dogged determination, her evident patience, her good nature, her good grace. There was not even a mention by Tilby of the Queen's public endorsement of this marriage. Then, dire as they were, things got worse. We were led to believe that medieval clerics in England saw marriage as somewhat removed from the church and little more than a contractual means of reigning in fornication and enforcing social order. We're then invited to contrast this dark spell of matrimonial theology with the Enlightenment that accompanied the first English prayer book of 1549. The prevailing requisites of fornication abatement and societal control were there, but now accompanied for the first time by a suggestion that those getting married should love and cherish each other. Quite frankly, rubbish. I'm not an expert, but there's a lot of straightforward and verifiable information out there for anyone with 20 minutes to spare and a passing familiarity with the internet. For the vast majority of Christian history before 1549 in England, direction for the church was provided exclusively by Rome. And marriage had long been considered by the Roman Church to be an act of divine significance, at least since a thing called the Fourth Lateran Council of 1215. Since then, marriage was understood to be a reflection of the union between the church and Christ. Of some importance, love and cherishment had been somewhat obviously front and centre in marriage since long, long before the scribblings of an English archbishop in 1549 were turned into a prayer book. Tilby, one would imagine, has sound and deep knowledge in this field, but the arguments and evidence to suggest that her marriage theology claims are groundless and not trivial. Now, if the payoff to this ill-prepared thought salad were worth it, such inconvenient facts might be considered little more than casualties of poetic license. If only Tilby had for us such an ending. She ended with these words.
It's all too easy to marry for the wrong reasons. The important question for those couples contemplating marriage is whether they really like each other, whether they're prepared to stand by each other and help each other to be strong and resilient. As I look back 20 years to that rather tentative ceremony in St. George's Chapel, it seems to me that Charles and Camilla's lasting friendship has been a blessing, both to themselves and perhaps to the rest of us too.
No shit, Angela. Even to a casual observer, what Charles and Camilla have appears to be much more than a lasting friendship. Theirs appears to be a love that has survived an astonishing combination of onslaughts, including dissection by godly pundits on BBC Radio 4. While hardly groundbreaking, the advice not to marry someone you don't like is innocuous in the absence of anything better, but why the flood of drivel that preceded it? And to suggest that those in a friendship are blessed by it is a honking banality. What a wasted opportunity and an insult to the audience. Just awful.